He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, August 9th, 2023 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And I have a feeling that the market's probably not going to make a commitment too much one way or another until we get the CPI report tomorrow. And we have a split open to the market. The Dow's up 9 points. It's at 35,323. The S&P is down 4 points, so not much movement there. The NASDAQ, however, is down 62. It's making the biggest move of all to the downside. It's down about a half a percent. The small cap's down about a half a percent. Crude oil. What is up with crude oil? It seems that the production cuts that were made by Saudi Arabia continue to be felt in the market, and crude oil is up a dollar today to $83.89. You're going to see higher prices at the pump. You're probably already seeing them. Gold is down $1.60 to $19.58. Silver is down 1 cent to $22.80. The 10-year, okay, I thought maybe the 10-year was a problem today, but not really. It's quiet. It's basically flat at 4.02%. And last but not least, Bitcoin is up $549 today to $29,892. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And we literally have clients all across America. And this is my 24th year in the business, my 24th year of doing the radio show that I love so much. I've done a lot of research here this morning. And here's what I've got to report to you, along with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Barry, I think that the market's not going to move too much one way or another until we get some very important inflation reports tomorrow and Friday, right?
Yeah, I was going to call it almost the no-news edition of the Best Stocks Now show. It's like you finally got to the dog day of summer, if you will. I looked at the economic calendar, and you don't see this very often. And it's Wednesday, August 9th. It just says none scheduled. And of course,
yeah, wow.
Of course, tomorrow we'll get the CPI, and then we'll get the producer price index. But I guess it's kind of a catch your breath day.
Yes.
In the market,
but
I guess
there's a lot of news though. You know, on individual stocks and on countries around the world and whatnot. It's just here in the U.S. a little slow on the economic front, but. You know, I was encouraged yesterday. We woke up to the news that China had just a horrible report.
Deflation, yeah.
And deflation and downgrades of banks. And the market was really, I mean, the Dow was down 400 at one point. The NASDAQ was down, I don't know, 250, 300. It made up a lot of ground during the course of the day. And as I started digging into the individual stocks yesterday, I said, well, this isn't so bad. These individual stocks aren't getting hurt at all. And the market did improve quite a bit yesterday by the end of the day, but it still was down. You know, the NASDAQ was down 110. And, you know, that news out of China, it's pretty disturbing that China is that their economy is that weak. Right now, but you know, we have to deal with it.
Well, the young and unemployment number
that was
like
really
20%. And I saw that story. I think maybe sometime over the weekend or early last week, but they had it in another story that they were talking about deflation there. But Yeah, having that, it's hard to, it's sometimes it's easy to stimulate certain industries, right, and have that from a labor front. But when you have, folks who, that they've gone through essentially their system, right, and then now are coming out on the other end with 20% unemployment.
No job.
And those are hard to. Those kind of jobs are hard to make, right? I mean, you can you can build ghost cities, but eventually, right, you can't start to build a ghost business, I guess.
And revolutions are built on discontent, and so are crackdowns, right? Crackdowns by the government.
Yeah, both
so
ways, yeah.
We have to be. And I saw Kyle Bass, he's pretty outspoken. He's been a China hawk for quite some time. He's a well-known fund manager. He said he's predicting that China will invade Taiwan next year before the U.S. elections. Anyways, that's all something to keep in the back of your mind, the sleeping giant China and what direction they're headed in, because that really impacts the rest of the world. But, hidden in between all the bad news yesterday was two blockbuster pieces of news on from Novo Nordisk, NVO, the Danish company that has led the world in diabetes drugs and research for many years. And now, the biggest cause probably diabetes. Well, yeah, obviously genetics are a big part of it. But also, it can be self-inflicted through being overweight or obese. And that drug, Wegovy, 20% drop in heart issues with the drug. That's significant. And then on the same day, Lilly reports their earnings, which were good, but they also, gave an update on Mounjaro, which works basically the same way as Novo Nordisk.
Yeah, and they're talking about the growth in that space in terms of that that vertical for them for Lilly. I forget what the revenue growth was in that, just in that one space was ridiculous.
So. I see explosive growth, and I've marked about five or six other stocks in my database on my chart as I go through my charts every day. I have those five added to a daily watch because they also are working on weight loss candidates. And, that could have a very big impact on the whole healthcare system and on society in general.
Well, and
we'll see.
Right? I mean, the cost structure is it's the cost of care, and if you've got certain things that can reduce that, in a safe manner, right? It's a big opportunity for cost savings in this space.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so the other thing we'll be hearing a lot about in coming days and weeks is China stimulus. Okay, luckily we really didn't have to stimulate our economy coming out of COVID because of all the pent up demand. I mean, people were dying to go back to the mall, to go out back to the restaurants, to go see a movie. That's obviously shown up in the Barbie numbers and the restaurant numbers and the restaurant brands, you name it. So we had plenty of pent-up demand, the cruise ships, the hotels, etc. But for some reason, that's not happening in China. And so everybody's looking for some kind of stimulus out of China. And you're seeing a jump in copper prices today on hope of stimulus. But then, here's the problem. China continually shoots itself in the foot. China wants all apps to file business details. Well, can you imagine? Here I am, a little guy, Best Stocks Now app. It works fabulous for me. We got people. Can you imagine filing and getting an approval from the U.S. government before I can, put it out there on the market? Multiply that by the thousands and thousands of apps. China will require
all. There's lots that won't succeed either. Basically, it just keeps down, keeps folks from creating apps, right? And they basically are taking control over, you know, and you know, innovative industry.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, countries that really have heavy bureaucracies, Greece is well known. Italy is well known. If you want, there was a story about a guy that just wanted to have a little store selling olives from Greece, right, online. And the hoops he had to go through, it was just incredible. And the people he had to pay for inspections and blah, blah, blah. He even had to give a blood sample of his own blood. So, you know what? I mean, government can get in the way big time, and that's China. That's one of their big, big problems. They killed their tech industry.
And just change also, the rules in the middle of it.
Yeah, and also they want a piece of the action, obviously. All right, when we come back, there's actually quite a bit to talk about here today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, with the market kind of looking ahead to tomorrow's important CPI report. Not going to make a whole lot of commitments today, I don't think, one way or another, the market, that is. The bond market also kind of wanting some direction as to whether or not the Fed's got another quarter of a point hike left in them, or if they'll leave things alone. You would think with the softening of the China, the global economy and whatnot, that they would leave rates alone. That's my guess.
At least some kind of read through, right? Yeah, I mean, one, you know, to me, you know, and also I think with, you know, not just the U.S. downgrade, but also the, you know, Moody's downgrade and those 10 or so banks yesterday, you know, you know, do you want to introduce, right, another, you know, 25 basis points and keep that long end up, or do you want to, you know, try to, you know, at least, like you said, just at least wait and see, right, and see how things play out?
Because, yeah.
Doing so could disrupt those balance sheets of those banks even more.
Yeah, and here's another issue. The rate on an FHA loan, which first-time or lower-income borrowers, hit 7.02%, the highest since 2002. That's pretty significant, okay? That's got to just really slow down, you know, the lower end, you would think, although the home builders continue to do well. But that's a 21-year high, 7.02% on a 30-year FHA.
Yeah, and that's a conforming loan. That's a conforming loan. That's, you know, that has some insurance backing to it too, as well.
And that's another reason the we'll be watching that CPI tomorrow. Applications for a purchase index drop 20% lower than the same week 1 year ago, and refi was 37% lower than the same week 1 week ago. Okay, the other number that kind of defies, you know, what's going on in China is oil. And I have to, you know, it has to be supply and demand. I saw a build in the U.S. stockpiles, but these oil analysts, they watched global stockpiles of oil. And oil climbs to a four-month high despite the gloomy Chinese economic data. I would have to say that Saudi Arabia must have seen that coming and got out in front of it with the production cuts.
Well, and rig counts have been declining here, you know, over the, you know, slightly each month over the, you know, each report, you know, here in the U.S. But, and then I just saw, did you see the natural gas prices in Europe?
They're taking off again.
Yeah, so they're at an 8-week high now, of course. You know, they're having competition now in terms of getting that LNG. They're getting it. There's some disruptions, number one, and then also Asia also wants some of that LNG, and so they're obviously bidding up the prices between the two.
Yes, and, you know, also Russia and Ukraine, that's heating up because Russia hit some Ukrainian ports there where the wheat is. And Ukraine says they will retaliate, and of course Russia's a big producer of oil.
And they hit a couple of ships in the ports there.
Yep,
Ukrainians did.
And you also have you know, Saudi Arabia holding to their pledge of cuts in production. All right, now BMO, who are they? Bank of Montreal. They screened for good bets. They say tech can still outperform the S&P 500. I'm on board with that. It's just not going to be the the wicked run you had during the first 6 months of this year. But overall, I mean, you would think that companies like Google and Amazon and others, NVIDIA and AMD, should be able to outperform Johnson & Johnson and IBM and some of those other, of course, that's a tech company, but other laggards, Kellogg's, etc. So, yeah, I agree, but it comes down to the individual company. I've seen a lot of weakness here in this last week in the software sector. Like, Salesforce chart has turned really kind of not very good. And others in that sector, there's been some big whiffs in earnings from companies like Datadog, Fortinet, obviously, the cybersecurity company.
And that brought a lot of this, you know, kind of that whole, you know,
the whole
space
sector
down a bit, right?
Pretty much the whole sector. I've seen Snowflake, et cetera, ServiceNow. And what do they all have in common? High P.E. ratios, that's another thing, and that big jolt in interest. We went up to, what, 4.15 last week or something like that?
Yeah, no, it actually hit, I think, 4.19. We got kind of to the highest that had been in November, and that's where I was seeing some of these mortgage applications and mortgage rates, you know, back to kind of those November highs, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that sent a jolt through the high P.E. stocks and crunched those multiples for now. Okay, good old family business Disney, right? Catering to families.
This one was an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, you know, how about they're a bookie now, basically. It used to be bookies, you know. You call your bookie to get a bet down on a horse running at Arlington or wherever, or on a football game. ESPN, which is owned by Disney, moves into sports betting. And they're teaming with Penn National, which divested themselves of, what's his name? I can't remember.
Oh, the Barstool Radio.
Right, Barstool.
Barstool Radio guy.
They sold Barstool back to him, got rid of it, and they're going to team with Penn. It's going to be called ESPN Bet. Okay, I'll bet you didn't know that Disney.
I was surprised that they didn't have something already in place. Because I mean, over the last, you know, say 3 or 4 years, you're just on ESPN in general, right? You've got, you know, much more about odds and things than you've ever really seen on sports shows before, right? And I figured they already seemed to promote it in some form or fashion, but yeah, I didn't even realize they didn't have some kind of deal like this in place. But
no, now when I was growing up, okay, we lived very close to Mexico, maybe 45 minutes or so down to Tijuana. Yeah, and if you wanted to make any kind of a future bet on the Kentucky, if you wanted to bet a racetrack with not being there at the racetrack, you had to run down to Tijuana. And I did that a few times, you know, for my father or whatever. We knew people that owned racehorses and whatnot. Maybe they were running at Golden Gate that day up in San Francisco, and we would go down. You had to run to Tijuana. But now it's like just get online, and there's a myriad of services competing with one another, DraftKings, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Well, ESPN, you would think, would be a major player. I can see, you know, ESPN with the odds running across the bottom of the page like a stock ticker, right?
And they're getting warrants in the company, in Penn as well. So.
Yeah, so Disney getting into the betting business. Who would have bet on that? Okay, we'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, a serious underperformer we just mentioned before we went to break is Disney. And, of course, they do own ESPN, and they are getting into the sports book business, gambling. And Disney is going to report earnings after the close tonight. Disney's stock is up 1.4% so far this year. It's a serious underperformer in the market. It was down 44% last year with all the controversy surrounding Disney. And, of course, you know, the old CEO came back. And it's just been a very poor performing stock. In 2021, it was up 2.3%. And during the COVID year of 2020, it was up 11.6%. So over the last 4 years, it's down considerably. And their earnings over the last 5 years have been going down. If you compound annualize those earnings over the last 5 years, minus 20% per year. And I think myself, Disney's made a lot of missteps, you know, with their audience's families. That's just the way it is. I grew up in San Diego by a drive-in theater. You remember those, Barry? You probably never went to a drive-in theater.
I've been to a couple of them over the years, but and yeah, almost, not.
Yeah, every weekend. I mean, the Disney movies would play there for weeks at a time, and they were packed. And the cars were station wagons with sleeping bags and pillows and homemade popcorn, and it's a family, you know, business. And growing up in San Diego, we used to go to Disneyland a lot, you know. It was about 60 miles away to the Magic Kingdom in Anaheim, maybe 90 minutes or so. And, you know, Disney decided to step into the politics arena and whatnot. And it's just been a disaster. It really has. It was a $203 stock in 2021, and now it's 89. It has just been smashed. COVID didn't help.
And there's been, yeah, and their business model's been, you know, been under attack, just, you know, from cord cutting, where, you know, they own ABC as well. So, right, they're, you know, huge, you know, cable provider, right, in terms of content. And that, you know, that the cord cutting's been hurting. And then, of course, at ESPN's model, they've got to pay up more for these sports contracts. And so, they're kind of getting margin, just when you look at the business, right, you're getting that margin crunch from both ends.
Yeah.
And then COVID, right, with the parks, you know, parlay that into the movies. Of course, they've done what they can to save certain business on the Disney Plus side, on the streaming side. But yeah, from a business standpoint, they've certainly had a lot more, I believe, headwinds, and created some of their own issues as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, they will report tonight, and you would think, I mean, look, they're in the height of movie season, they're in the height of theme park season, you'd think they would report a pretty good number. I have Disney. Now, I bought into I thought the
Iger turnaround.
Iger would turn it around. Instead, he kept doing more of the same. And so we just got rid of it. We backed out several months ago. And it's up 1.4% today. It's a laggard. It's a member of the Dow. And we'll see what they report. Now, on the other hand, Lilly upgraded today. By the way, if I do the math on Disney right now,
And I'm using a multiple in the 18.5, 18 area. It's about 65% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years, which is just average. I mean, it's going to take a turnaround in earnings.
Yeah, with business headwinds, by the way.
Yeah, and what's going to be their growth rate going forward over the next 5 years? I think it's way too optimistic, the numbers that the consensus, the analysts have. Okay, Eli Lilly upgraded to Jefferies on Mounjaro sales and that Wegovy data that just blew the markets away yesterday. Lilly is having another good day. Well, what you're going to see in Lilly, you're going to see multiple. You're going to see expansion in their multiple. They're going to get a glamour multiple. You know, right now I see it trading at about 45 times forward earnings, which is too rich in my book, because a lot of that valuation was taken out of it yesterday. Merck, on the other hand, you know, is not going to get that kind of a multiple. Pfizer is not going to get that kind of a multiple. Pfizer's trading at 12 times forward earnings, 12. So a lot of it depends on what you have in the pipeline and what the perceived growth is there. But Lilly really wowed the street yesterday. Now, I'm seeing target prices on Lilly, $615 on Lilly. Let's see, where is it at right now? $528. So it definitely has upside potential, but you know what? We got to kind of wait and see. It needs to catch up with its multiple. That's a pretty rich multiple right now on Lilly. Rivian, yeah, pushes higher.
And NVO, by the way, is at, what, 37 forward at the moment from their growth standpoint. But in, we're, and then Lilly has, you know, the trick there is they've got more other legacy business that's kind of you know, that may fall off a cliff as well, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we like NVO. We bought NVO before the weight loss
right.
stuff.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I liked it on its own, and then along comes the weight loss stuff.
Right.
It's like, wow. So, I mean, it's down a little bit today, but it was up almost 20%. Okay, Rivian. Trying to take on Tesla and the other car makers, Rivian is down 7.2% today. They have yet to turn a profit. I see a few Rivian trucks around town, not a lot. But you know what? They are selling them. I will say that. They're selling trucks. The trick is becoming profitable. Okay. You know, at first, they're just trying to get trucks out there on the street. I mean, it's good advertising. They want, you know, to get a product out there. And now they got to focus on actually making money on that. I'm not a fan of the stock myself. I mean, they're a one-trick pony right now. They have a truck, and you know, they're going up a lot of competition there. But it is a $23 stock is down 7.7%. Roblox.
I'll tell you what the trick is with those electric vehicles is going to be weight. And the size of them, I've seen some, you know, just seen some numbers done in terms of what, how much the average car weighs more now than it did.
And well, the batteries.
It's a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think it would be a lot harder on our roads.
Well, and bridges are the big problem, right? When you get a bunch of folks stuck on a bridge and all of those cars weigh, you know, three times or, you know,
300 Teslas into the river, just like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Roblox getting clobbered, down 20.3% today. Now, on the other hand, we have two big winners today, believe it or not. Energy drinks in our emerging growth portfolio, which only has about 17 or 18 stocks. We're looking for, you know, the next Monster Energy or the next Aetna Insurance or whatever the case may be. Celsius is up 17.4% today. Now, I updated my valuation on it yesterday, and I came up with 96% upside potential. Of course, it trades at a glamour multiple. Why? Their sales were up 112% quarter over quarter, and their earnings were up 333%. You don't find growth like that anywhere, hardly. This is one of the better growth stories out there. Celsius, you've probably seen the drinks. They supposedly have calorie burning, you know, all kinds of fitness beverages. It's up 17.3. And then the other one that's a big winner for us today, you know, I made a lot of money in Aetna Insurance because it eventually got bought out by CVS. And that CEO joined a smaller insurance health company, Oscar Health. And Oscar's up 8.5. It was up more, but it's up 8.5% today after they beat earnings. So there's a couple of winners for us today in our small emerging growth portfolio, which, you know what? I mean, I love finding those emerging growth companies. It only takes a few big winners there. We had another winner yesterday in that portfolio in Taste, which is a Burger King franchisee. Speaking of burgers, Wendy's, which is no longer an emerging growth stock, but is still growing, not a stock I'd be interested in. It's kind of flat today, and the other one is Jack in the Box. I'm very familiar with Jack in the Box. It started out in San Diego. It's down 4% today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ under a little pressure today. The chip stocks seem to be under pressure. I think there may have been some news out of China about restrictions, well, out of the U.S. actually on restrictions of what can and cannot be sold to China. That seems to be impacting the chip stocks. The NASDAQ's down 100 right now. And as I look at the biggest losers in the indexes, the biggest loser in the S&P 500 right now is NVIDIA. NVIDIA is down 3.9%. And I can just say that there's since the second half started, the big tech stocks, big tech has pretty much come to a halt after just sizzling the first half. And, you know, I wrote in my newsletter at that time, there's going to be some sector rotation. I don't expect, you know, the big tech to sizzle in the second half of this year like it did the first half of this year. And you've seen some sector rotation. And I would say that the best sector on the receiving end of money has been the oil sector. And I would suppose that Saudi Arabia is the catalyst for the move in oil up to $83 a barrel. It was 63, and the oil stocks did poorly. They did terrible in the first half of the year. And as I look at the indexes today, once again, let's look at the Dow. Exxon is the biggest gainer in the Dow today. It's up 2.2%. Chevron is up 1% today. Caterpillar, which has had a pretty good, since their earnings report, they've had a pretty good year, actually. Cat was also one of the 53 stocks that I featured in my book 10 years ago. I actually got a letter from, I invited the CEO on my radio show. I can't remember who it was at the time. He wrote me a very nice letter thanking me for making it a Best Stocks Now and writing about it in my book. Caterpillar's up 1.1%. Amgen, okay, I'm going to dive into Amgen today and see what's going on there because it's been perking up lately.
Somehow it always seems to, to kind of rise to the top a bit, right? With name that we haven't talked about hardly, you know, a lot in a long time.
But it's been on a little bit of a run here. Amgen's up 1.1. I'm going to guess there's something to do with weight loss. And then on the downside, you see Salesforce and Apple are the two biggest losers in the Dow. Again, two giant tech stocks. Apple is not being painted with the overall technology. It's kind of the earnings that they reported and the drop in growth, and really nothing out there, at least as of now, that we're looking forward to that's going to really stoke the the fire again at Apple. Apple's down 1%, and Salesforce is down 1.4%. The biggest winner in the S&P 500, Penn. How would you like to team up with ESPN and Disney? Maybe they'll have a little sports book at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN, we're teaming up in terms of, like I said, I thought from a part of it, the deal is a marketing deal, so they'll market Penn and get, they've got some warrants in the deal, so in other words, they have the ability, to participate in that equity move in Penn. So
put in a little bookie joint at the Magic Kingdom where Grandpa can get a bet down on the fourth race at Gulfstream while the grandkids are on the Little Mermaid ride, Anyways, Penn is up 14.9%, so obviously they see Disney and ESPN as a better partner, more lucrative than Barstool Sports. Portnoy is the guy, very controversial character. But he's a mover and a shaker in that industry. Okay, so Penn is up 14.9. Under Armour's up 4.9. Another area that I've seen budging, and maybe it has to do with the ports in Ukraine, the fertilizer stocks. CF is up 4.7. I bought just a little bit of Nutrien. Okay, now we do own the Nutrien bond, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we own the Nutrien bond. It doesn't stink. It pays a nice coupon, and hopefully we'll still be using fertilizer 4 to 5 years from now when the money comes
due. Well, I think that one was a 3-year bond, so we didn't need it to last as long.
No. Nitrogen. Look, I fertilize my yard. That stuff's expensive. I fertilize my vegetables, and I fertilize my shrubs and my lawn, and that stuff is not cheap at all. Okay, so CF's having a dice day, 4.7. Another stock that seems to show up almost daily, and we made it our, where we've been talking about a lot lately, APA, the company formerly known as Apache. But they changed their, obviously, with the Guardians and the, all of this and the getting rid of the names. APA is now APA instead of Apache. It's up 4.4% today. Marathon. You know what else I've watched? Valero's been doing really well, too. All of a sudden, the refiners are sitting in a nice spot.
Well, look at Equinor today, EQNR.
Equinor is the biggest oil company out of Europe. They're out of Norway, which has a lot of oil. I don't have any relatives, that are big oil barons. But Norway got the oil. Sweden didn't. And those two haven't really liked each other over the year.
They're up 5.5% today, and that's a part of those prices jumping, I think, 30% or so in over the last pretty quickly there in Europe. So.
And then these oil service stocks, another good day, Halliburton, SLB, and Baker Hughes, all breaking out. I said the second half of this year probably going to favor the oil stocks, and I also mentioned the financials. Those are the two most promising in the way of sector rotation. And we have added several oil stocks recently, several, maybe at about the turn of the quarter there, we added several back to our portfolios. And over at the NASDAQ, what can I say? Big tech is asleep, totally. I think probably waiting for the CPI. Big tech, what big tech does not want to see are higher interest rates. That's what big tech does not want to see because it hurts their multiple that they trade at. And I think that's why you're seeing some high multiple stocks sell off. In advance, Tesla's down 1.3%, AMD's down 1.7%, NVIDIA's down 3.9%, and even Broadcom is down 3%. So anyways, that's where we sit today, waiting the big CPI report tomorrow. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. It's the hardest-hitting newsletter in the entire industry. And to get a free portfolio review and talk to us about our offerings, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.